Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're in Shanghai for the 2019 edition of the flagship UBS Greater China Conference. The event offers comprehensive analysis of how Greater China's positioning itself to take advantage of the opportunities offered by technological change, as well as important global issues that impact the markets. Up for discussion before the almost 3,000 delegates in attendance, along with key figures from central banks, from business, and leading investors and innovators, topics like the development of the new economy, global trade, the pace of growth, and the momentum behind themes like sustainability. Let's start with the UBS president of APAC, Edmund Koh, sets the scene for the GCC. Here's how he welcomed delegates to the event in Shanghai.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Shanghai, and welcome to our annual Greater China Conference. This year's theme is contending for the future. This is critical time in world history, and the decisions we make today will have a lasting impact for the future. We have a record number of attendees at this year's conference with representatives from 26 countries. Thank you all for joining us. Your presence here is important to us, as you too will help shape the world. Over the next couple of days, we have some top speakers lined up for you. They will be tackling some of the key issues that are affecting all of us. We will essentially be taking a deep dive into three key themes. One, offering insights into US and China trade tensions. I'm sure a lot of you are interested in that. Two, looking at artificial intelligence and China's growing role on this very important sector, and leading the discussion on sustainability and impact investing. We'll be asking plenty of questions, and we hope to equip you with the right answers to help guide your investment decisions in 2019.
Paul Gong is China Auto Analyst in UBS Investment Research. Paul, can you tell us a bit about the GCC from your perspective? What are some of the main aims?
UBS holds this Greater China Conference every year in January in Shanghai. And this year, I have attended two main talks. One is about the US-China trade war. The other one is about artificial intelligence and China's role in it. I think the other topic is sustainable development, but I haven't attended that main talk. So I think these are the several key topics during this GCC. I was told there were 1,800 participants from investor community, from the corporate management and industry experts coming to this event.
Wendy Liu's chief China strategist in UBS Investment Research. And Wendy, maybe just to kick off, can you give us a bit of a scene setter? We already spoke with your colleague Paul Gong for this program about the GCC in broad terms. Just tell us a bit about what goes on in Shanghai and why the Greater China Conference is such a compelling event, because there's so many interesting narratives. It's always such an intriguing fixture in the UBS calendar, isn't it? Tell us a bit about it and why it matters so much.
It is, I think, started to become more of a must-go event for the investors in China equities, whether it's A-shares or H-shares. The attendance is up almost by 20%. And a couple of years ago, we would hear investors saying, oh, it's too big and I want to go to a mid-sized conference. But now, since everyone's coming, they want to come. Excellent speakers, a lot of the top minds within the industries from a macro perspective, and also vertical industries, top minds in the industries, and hedge fund managers, and not only sovereign wealth fund. So I just think people wanted to have a gathering place to look for the year ahead. And this is also the first major event for this year for all investors in Chinese equities. So I think it's just a must-go event now.
Wendy, at the start of the conference, UBS's chairman Axel Weber talked about the critical import of China to UBS. Why does it matter quite so much?
I think the UBS brand in China, and to that matter, Asia-Pac, has an unparalleled advantage. and the quality of service or quality of research that I take pride in is also very impressive. And I think our investor clients find it very useful. And among the foreign investors that would like to come and invest in China, UBS is a very trusted provider. We have the biggest research combined onshore, offshore among all sell-side brokers. And I think the economy, despite its moderating growth rate, is still growing at a phenomenal rate. The wealth is building. So as a leading wealth manager around the world, and then also as a shop that is very much dedicated to providing advice and then investment services, we just see the different things coming together that could make it into an even bigger business for UBS. And it's just uniquely positioned for this very large and growing opportunity.
Let's reflect maybe on some of the big picture challenges before we talk about some more specifics to do with equities. Obviously, a lot of the narrative over the last year, and one imagines still into 2019, volatility globally, geopolitical uncertainty, and those are things that impact markets, as we know. Are those the kinds of discussions, you know, when you talk to clients of the bank and to other stakeholders who are there in Shanghai, is that what dominates the agenda? Is it the issue of Chinese growth, maybe Chinese debt, of course? Are those just some of the big themes that people are really interested in?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think 2018 had the global market started on a pretty upbeat beginning. And then throughout the year, volatility rose, geopolitical uncertainty rose. Now people are wondering how much more downside there is. And just the informal poll at the conference indicate that U.S.-China trade issue is a concern. Also, you know, could Chinese policymakers make execution mistakes? But interestingly, FX, the RMB exchange rate, that's less of a concern. And the property market is also less of a concern. So I think people are looking at 2019 with quite sanguine outlook. They understand valuation is cheaper, not at the real, you know, so recession level, but it's, you know, near recession. And so they wanted to look at the companies, who's going to grow earnings, who may have some disappointment, and try to position portfolio for the best possible return. So our advice to them is to start with a bit of caution, and then in the second half of the year, particularly the fourth quarter, the year-over-year comparison will be quite easy, particularly when we get to fourth quarter, and just be a little bit cautious at the beginning of the year if there were downward earnings revisions.
Still to come on The Bulletin with UBS, we'll hear more about the challenges and opportunities of the new economy from our panel. If we turn to look next, more broadly across the new economy, why is China in the vanguard here? Perhaps, Paul Gong, if we look through the prism of e-mobility and autonomous automotive, an area that you specialise in, Paul.
I think there are several angles. The general public are more willing to accept the new stuff, and we did evidence map survey that about 60% of the Chinese customers are willing to consider EV as a car they purchase, compared to just 20%, 30% in most of the developed world. The Chinese government is also pushing it hard through the subsidies, through the credit scheme system. And right now, the annual sales volume of electric vehicles in China accounts to more than half of the world basis. And also from the industry, for most of the Chinese OEMs, regardless how hard they work, they can still hardly catch up the global level in terms of internal combustion engine cars technologies, because that is already very mature technology. But in terms of electric vehicles, they feel this as an opportunity to cut down the curve. And indeed, in 2018, in September, the SIC, a large local OEM, has launched the electric vehicle called Marvel X. That is a medium-sized SUV that is about the similar time of the Mercedes-Benz EQC. Both are medium-sized SUV. The Chinese Marvel has only two-thirds of the batteries of the EQC, but enables 90% of the driving range and shows some higher efficiency in terms of the power consumption as well as the energy density of the battery pack. The Marvel appears to be a better car than the Mercedes-Benz, at least from some parameters we could see publicly here. That is hardly imaginable during the ICE car era, where Marvel could build even better cars than Daimler. So there are a lot of opportunities we could see in the electric vehicles from the general public, from the government attitudes, from the charging infrastructure, which China has about 2 to 3 times of the charging public charging plot versus Europe. Also from the industry supply chain, where Chinese battery makers today still accounts to almost half of the world's EV battery capacity, as well as some e-motors and inverters and semiconductor stuff.
Wendy Liu, if we can come back to you and hear from you too about the new economy. It's so exciting. There's such dynamism, whether we're talking about robotics, electric vehicles, artificial intelligence, 5G. How do we balance the note of caution you struck earlier with so much broad optimism that there is about these kinds of sectors in particular?
I think it's about investment proxies, right? So we look at these future drivers, and there's no question that they will materialize. And it's about the valuation and deliverables in the interim. So I think these growth opportunities you identify, depending on the quarterly expectations or the semi-annual expectations investors have on them, we may see the underlying taking a pause, but I think the opportunity is not going away. Then there's a whole bucket that is the here and now. We look at the consumer staples, discretionary, tech, internet, you know, cyclicals, defensives, and the financials. And we try to gauge if there's downside risk in earnings. And I think that's the greater portion of the stock index. We do hear some wariness among investors that it is going to take a little bit longer for some of the thematic things to work out, but we also hear very unwavering conviction to make that happen. So I think it's something that investors need to have more of a medium-term investment horizon, a bit of a patience rather than an immediate eruption of growth opportunities.
Wendy Liu, let's talk about China equities next. What are some of maybe the big challenges ahead? Is it a question of looking at that earnings performance going forwards? What would be some of the kind of key markers that you're looking out for, the real touchstones that are going to set the agenda here in the year ahead?
At the macro level, it's about the moderating GDP growth and then the increasing level of stimulus. So we may see a step function of moderating growth, more stimulus, moderating growth, more stimulus. At some point, investors are going to ease, right? And the stimulus is enough to get the economy back above low six level in terms of growth. And so that turning point, inflection point in growth is something I think people are watching top down, measuring whether the easing is behind the curve or like just right. Second one is from a bottom-up perspective. When we look at the stocks, there's stocks that have seen earnings downgrades, and internet being a prime example. And the stock share prices have also fallen. There's another bucket where the earnings are elevated and share price has gone sideways. Yeah, not too many shares have gone up in 2018. And then there are also stocks that share prices have declined, but the earnings estimate haven't. So bottom-up, we're trying to see if the valuation is already troughed and the earnings downside risk has already been alleviated. And so there's a bottom-up exercise and there's a top-down exercise. And I would say the bottom-up, we probably see revision pressure in the first quarter. But I think by second quarter, even the downward revision for 2019 would be behind us.
Wendy Liu, another big picture consideration, certainly in terms of Sino-US relations, is trade, which is very much front and centre at the moment. Any interesting reflections, Wendy, that you've heard from there this week about that particular narrative going forward?
I think three things to be mindful of. I think last year, trade turning out to be a bigger risk than people had thought. Earlier in the year, that was a bit of a surprise. So I think from a surprise factor standpoint, then I don't think it's going to be as big of a surprise this year than last year. to some of the negative data due to trade that's going to show up in the U.S. and showing up in China. So we'll be watching that in the coming months. Three, I think both sides are now showing an interest to reach some sort of an agreement. But due to the complexity of the negotiation, we probably get extension and extension as these discussions continue. But I would think by the end of the year, we should see something concrete.
Finally, Wendy Liu, perhaps we could hear from you a thought on the GCC. If we take a step back and look at the meaning of this event, give us a last takeaway on GCC 2019.
I think the GCC is becoming a flagship, not for UBS, but for investors interested in China. And we have a global audience, and then the top central, ex-central bankers, Yellen and Mr. Zhou Xiaochuan. We also have a lot of the new growth industry leaders coming to present. So I think this is a great two-day event with a lot of tours for investors. So I think this is an event that we should keep our eyes on.
And that's Wendy Liu bringing us to the end of this 223rd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. You can listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.